you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Nehemiah chapter 12. You can take your seats. Nehemiah chapter 12. The title of this message today is Don't Forget to Celebrate. Don't forget to celebrate. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the humdrum routines of life, of working, of family, of washing, of cleaning, of going to work, working, coming back from work, that sometimes we can get so caught up in the humdrum of life that we can end up enduring it instead of enjoying it. And even in Christianity, sometimes we can get caught up in just the whole church thing, the whole, you know, expectation thing, the whole discipline thing, the whole, you know, thing of it, that we can start enduring our salvation instead of enjoying our salvation. But I want us to get back to that place of celebration today. Turn around and look at someone and just do a little dance and say, celebrate. I'm sure I heard someone say celibate. I'm like, if you want to celebrate, celibate, that's cool. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 27, and it says this. It says, for the dedication of the new wall of Jerusalem. And we know the story of Nehemiah about how he came back into Jerusalem from his place over there in exile. And he came back because the temple had been built, but the wall was broken down around Jerusalem. And how many of you know that's symbolic of people's lives sometimes that have, you know, a form of Christianity, but they're always getting messed up. They're always getting attacked. They're always getting, you know, wobbled. They're always getting shaken, right? There's always something happening. And you're there worshiping the Lord. You've got the presence of God, but there's always stuff happening. And often it's because the temple's built, but the wall is broken down. The boundaries, the different things that you have in place, the social structure, the community that is broken around you. So he came back and they started to rebuild the wall. And it says that when it was being dedicated, the new wall, the Levites throughout the land were asked to come to Jerusalem to assist in the ceremonies. And they were to take part, watch this, in the joyous occasion with their songs of thanksgiving and with the music of cymbals, harps, and lyres. Now, I'm talking about lyres, the instrument, not people coming in, telling them, no, you don't look fat in that. Then later on in Nehemiah chapter 12, verse 43, it says this. It says, many sacrifices were offered on that joyous day. Can you see that there's something joyous about what they were doing? For God had given the people cause for great joy. The women and children also participated in the celebration, and the joy of the people of Jerusalem could be heard far away. Celebration is a central and important aspect of spirituality. Sometimes we think that you've got to look like you've been baptized in lemon juice to be a holy person. But I don't know about you. I like joy. I don't see why football supporters can be more joyous when their team scores than Christians can be more joyous that their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and they're not going to go to hell, but they're going to live with Jesus forever. Someone scores a goal. Man United score a goal. Everyone, because it's a rare thing. I'm a West Ham supporter. You know I've got faith. Hallelujah. We celebrate if we get a throw-in. We celebrate at every corner kick. Hallelujah. But people rejoice when a goal goes in. But sometimes we come to church and maybe we think that we've got to be a little bit more reserved in church. Huh? And I'm not talking about necessarily running up here doing cartwheels. Although, if you want to do that, praise the Lord. Amen. Do a risk assessment first, but
but celebration.
Celebration. It's a thing. It's spiritual to celebrate. In this scripture, we see the celebration of finishing something. How many of you know that finishing something is cause for celebration sometimes? Right? How many of you have started fasting? And in the fast, you're like, ugh. But then when you finish the fast, you celebrate. Because it's a joyous occasion. There are different things that we can celebrate, but here we see the celebration of finishing something, and it was the finishing of the wall of Jerusalem that Nehemiah had been called to build. Now watch this. They had opposition against it. I mean, if you know, good things, or people, situations, spirits are going to oppose good things in your life, right? But they'd overcome the opposition. It's okay to have opposition. We God allows us to have opposition. Do you know that? Sometimes we think, how come things are going hard for me? God doesn't love me. Oh, maybe God's not real. People think that. But God's allowing you to have opposition so that you can grow. You don't complain when you go to the gym, hallelujah, and the machine is giving you opposition. You don't complain when you're on that treadmill and then you put it up a notch and you start on an incline and there's opposition. You're not complaining at the gym owner. Well, why did you allow that? Because without opposition, there's never any growth. When you overcome opposition, you've got that in your belt. You can then gain in confidence. Confidence is not looking at yourself in the mirror and speaking sweet nothings to yourself, lying to yourself that you look brilliant, you look great, you're amazing. Look at this. Look at you. Look at them lips. Look at them teeth. Some people think that it's positive talk. I don't know about you. I struggle to do that when I look in the mirror. I don't look in the mirror and say, you're looking beautiful. I look in the mirror and say, you're not pretty, but you're not ugly. You're kind of in between, pretty ugly, son. Look at that wrinkle. Look at that cheek. Look at that chin. Look at that nose. Confidence doesn't come by trying to talk yourself up. Confidence comes by looking back on all the things you've overcome and knowing that you've got credibility. Then knowing that God was with you in the last times, in the hard times, in the past times, and the same God that got you through that can get you through this. So our confidence is not in ourselves, our confidence is in Him. When you've got confidence in God, it doesn't matter about anything else. It doesn't matter who's in front of you. It doesn't matter what someone else says. It doesn't matter how you feel. It matters about what He says. And then you get confidence to keep going and keep a... Oh, I don't know if you're listening to me right now. But they had opposition. They had attacks from their enemies, but they kept going. They kept building. And they finished that season. And so they celebrated. When you finish a season, you can celebrate. As a church, we went through a season like that. Long season. Where we were trying to build. That something was broken down. We were trying to build. We went through madness, we went through COVID, we went through all that stuff. We went through that stuff and we were fighting and we were building and battling and building and battling and building, and the enemies came and people spoke bad. And the world, how many of you know that the world is going to hate you if you're a Christian? Some Christians get too weird on that stuff. Why should the world that crucified your Lord and Savior honor you? Same world that crucified Jesus. You think they're going to honor you? No. They're going to come against you. They're going to tell you you're stupid. They're going to tell you you're useless. They're going to try and stop you doing it. But they built and they battled. And as a church, we built and we battled and we finished the rebuilding season. We even had a series about it, the Nehemiah series. We built it. We'd done it last year. We'd done it. And then as a church, we entered into fruit season. And how many of you know fruit season is still ongoing? It hasn't finished yet. We've gathered in a little bit of it. We're only halfway through fruit season. We're not even halfway through yet. We've gathered in a little bit, but how many of you know there's still much more growing? There's still much more ongoing. There's still much more to come in our lives. So don't give up, because you've still got life and blessings ahead of you growing, and there's going to be some more celebration. You You know, the things we celebrate reveal a piece of who we are and what we value and what we believe in most. So you can tell where someone's at by what they celebrate. Amen? Tells of the direction of your thinking, of your heart, and where you're at. What you celebrate. Something important to understand is this. Your environment, the world in which you live and work, is actually a mirror of your attitudes and expectations. You've got two people that go to the same job. One person goes in there complaining, moaning, whining, doing the least possible, can't wait to leave. The other person goes in there and looks at it as an opportunity to live life, to shine, to glow, to do the best they can, to bring the most value that they can and be a blessing to everyone around them. What person would you like to work with? The person that gives a positive attitude or the person that drags everything down? Right? We are responsible for our environments. If it's raining outside, the sun can still be raining inside. Life requires celebration. Requires times of joy, times of rest. It ain't all about work. Because without celebration, that's not really the type of life that God created us to live. God didn't create us as robots just to go through life and endure everything. You can even endure something, get to the end of the endurance, get the breakthrough, and then celebrate. Sometimes we don't celebrate enough as Christians, I think. The biggest celebration in our lives that we can have, don't matter if it's rainy, don't matter if you're sick, don't matter if you lack, don't matter if you're having a hard time, you can still celebrate the biggest celebration that you are saved, that you have been delivered from death to life and darkness to light through Jesus Christ. You can celebrate that you serve the living God. You can celebrate that Jesus is who he says he is. He lived there, he said he was going to live, or it was prophesied of him, that he died a death that he didn't owe. He paid a price that we couldn't pay. He went down into the grave. He took the keys of death and hell. He rose again from the dead, never to die again. You can celebrate Jesus Christ. Biggest celebration. It's bigger than winning a cup final. That's why we gather together on Sundays. You know, we gather together on Sundays not because it's the Sabbath. We gather together on Sundays, the Sabbath never shifted. We gather together on Sundays because we're celebrating together the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which happened on a Sunday. He rose from the dead. The first day of the week, Yom Rishon in Hebrew. That's why we celebrate on the first day of the week. There was a new creation that came about. And we come together as a church, God's idea, a community of saints, to gather together, to celebrate together the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the hope that we're going to experience the same thing one day. I don't know about you, but one day I don't know where I'm going to die. I hope I'm not, you know, eaten by ants or pulled into a combine harvester. Come on, somebody. I hope that I would die peacefully somewhere, nicely somewhere, with my loved ones holding my hand and whispering sweet nothings to me. But however we die, whatever happens, one day we're going to die. We're going to leave this life. We're going to shuffle off this mortal frame. But when we close our eyes to this world, we open our eyes and we are going to be going to Jesus. We are going to be there on the streets of solid gold, living in a land where you never grow old. The Savior is going to be there to welcome us. We're going to receive crowns and rewards. Come on, somebody. I don't know why I'm excited. And you're still looking like you've been baptized in lemon juice. Something to celebrate. Turn around, look at someone and smile. Show them your tooth. When we come together in church, we come to join together in community to rest from the madness of the world around us. The world's mental. It's crazy out there. It's mad. Everyone's doing their own thing. You know that. Everyone makes up their own rules of good and evil. That's sin. That's the result of sin. Being their own gods. deciding for themselves what is good and evil. We see it all the time. We have subjective morality ruling. But we come to church where there's an objective morality. There's God. We know what's expected. Because if you don't know what's expected, you don't know what to do. How many of you know? We know what to do. So we come together as a community to learn and to grow together so that we can become true reflectors of the beauty of God. We're not shattered mirrors. God puts all the pieces back together so that we can reflect his goodness out there to a broken world. But here's the thing. We're getting into it. Celebration is not a passive state. I don't know about you, but you can't celebrate passively. Because it don't look like you celebrate. Celebration is an active state. It needs activation. Are you with me? How many of you have ever been excited to give someone who you love a gift that you've thought through, you've prayed over, you've invested in, and you give it to them, and you're really excited that they receive it, and they take it, and they go... Thanks. How deflated do you feel? But how do you feel when they take it? They go, no way. I can't believe it. That's amazing. Oh, thank you so much. Wow. Last time I went to a little birthday party was our little brother Alex. Little Alex, part of the gang. And he was there, man, and we went round his house. Me and Vicky went round there, and we went round his house. It was his birthday, and he was getting these little gifts. And he was so exuberant about the tiniest little thing. Wow, a notebook. Wow. I was like, get in there, son. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because if you can celebrate like that over a notebook with nothing in it, it wasn't like, you know, the 10 quotes that changed my life written in it. And I said that because I want to celebrate that James, who is the head of our guest services, just released a book on Amazon called The 10 Quotes That Changed My Life. Amen. Celebrate! 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 But it's active. It's not passive. It's active. And it is an act of expressing reverence or appreciation. But instead of celebration, watch this. This is why people struggle with it. Because instead of celebration, people choose to be entertained instead. To be entertained is a passive state. Are you with me? To be entertained is to receive pleasure afforded by an amusing act or a spectacle. That's to be entertained. And the problem is that sometimes we come to church to be entertained. Oh, we love going to church. The worship team are amazing. Right? Right? Oh, my goodness. Are the worship team amazing or not? And then the preaching, my goodness. Unbelievable. This cockney white guy gets up there, fam. You get all the people, this cockney white guy gets up there, fam, man, he breaks down the word of God. There's some humor in there. Hallelujah. Oh, that's fantastic. He sweats, he spits, he screams. He's up there going crazy, shouting, screaming, sweating, spitting. It's amazing, fam. Oh, yeah, what do? I just sit there. Don't you say amen? Nah, fam. Don't you jump up sometimes when you're excited? No, I suppress it. Why do you do that? Because that's the way I've been trained by Netflix. Because that's the way I've been trained by going to the cinema. That I just sit there passively receiving. When was the last time you was watching Netflix, a movie, or some box set in your house, and you jumped up off your couch? And you were like, yes! Stop! Don't! When's the last time you did that in a cinema? When you're watching a movie?
He jumped up, ah, popcorn everywhere.
We're trained by it, man. We're trained to be passive. We're trained to be entertained. We're trained not to participate. We're trained as spectators, not participators, but not in God's church. When you come to church, everyone should come with a song, with a psalm, with a word, with a prayer, with an action. If you can't get up here on the platform, then get with the person next to you. Wait until afterwards. Encourage someone. Speak to someone. We're a congregation. We're a community. We celebrate together.
Or do we just want to be entertained?
Celebration is a confrontation of that temporary thing because it points to the spiritual meaning of your life. Celebration. Two things here. There's real celebration. There's fake entertainment. Which one do you choose? Real celebration is about focusing on something valuable. Fake entertainment is about being distracted from what's valuable. Come on now, right? Entertainment gets you scrolling, so you get your little dopamine hit by watching someone else celebrate something. And then you don't celebrate being next to your spouse, being with your kids, being with your parents, being with your friends, because we've been sucked into this vortex of entertainment when God wants us to celebrate.
Are you hearing me?
It's important because one of Lucifer's most profitable tactics against God's ordained church community is making believers think that church should be entertaining. And if it's not entertaining, then they'll stop coming.
Well, didn't get much out of it.
What are you talking about?
Well, I went to church, didn't get much out of it, really.
What? What did you give? What did you bring? Did you worship God? Or did you just sit there being entertained, waiting to be entertained? Entertain me! Oh. Coming to the wrong church for that, man. We ain't going to give you popcorn when you come in. You will get the presence of God. You will have a spirit of holiness. There will be words that point you to Jesus Christ. There will be preaching that cuts you to the heart. There will be that. But you ain't getting popcorn and one of them smoothie things. Freeze your brain. Huh? When it's entertaining, if their click don't come, then neither do they. If their needs are not met, then they'll take their toys and their tithes and they'll look for somewhere else that tickles their fancy. But as believers, man, we're meant to gather together to celebrate Christ and his resurrection. Together. I don't know about you, but there's times I'm down. I don't even want to come to church. I heard a story of a guy once. He woke up one morning. He was so down and so depressed. His wife was getting ready for church. She said, come on, honey, get ready. He's like, I don't want to go today. Why don't you want to go? Wow, man, I don't want to go there. The people are so rough. They're so hard. I feel they're a bit abusive. They don't like me. He said, I don't really want to go. People don't like me there. They don't even like me there. Why should I go? She said, you're the pastor. There's no faith in being an entertainment-oriented Christian. And ultimately, there's no reward for that type of mindset either. But celebration is a powerful thing and it achieves some amazing things. Coming in, I'm going to do this real quick. Amen. I'm going to help you. I'm going to save you so you can celebrate. Three things that celebration does. Number one, celebration creates connection. Celebration is the practice of choosing to be truly present in the important moments of our lives. Sometimes we miss the most important moments of our lives. They come and they go. Birthdays come and go. Key events come and go. Someone passes their driving test, comes and goes. Someone graduates from college, comes and goes. Whatever it is, it comes and goes. And we miss the important moments of our lives and other people's lives because we're not fully present. But celebration enables you to be fully present in these key areas of life. You can see it from the life of Jesus. Jesus didn't live at such a pace where he was so preoccupied with his own agenda that he didn't connect with what was happening in the lives of people around him. He had a mission. He knew what he was meant to do. He had his eyes set on the cross. He knew what the plan was. But still, you find him sitting down eating with someone, sitting down listening to someone, reaching out to someone. Come on, somebody. And he wasn't so bent out of shape about what was wrong in the world that he couldn't stop and notice what was good. I imagine Jesus and his disciples had a right laugh. Huh? I can imagine them laughing, man. I think Jesus has probably got the best sense of humor of anyone. He needs it, that's right. Huh? Amount of times that he must get some prayer requests. Imagine the Father is sitting there on his throne and he's told someone what to do. He's clear in the word, he's spoken to their hearts, and then they have to go and pray about it. Do this. And then they're like, okay, let me pray about it. I don't imagine him sitting there calling the angels over going, I've told him what to do, he wants to pray about it. Who's he going to pray to? Is there someone else? They must have massive amounts of humor. Enjoying a wedding. Run out of wine, what did he do? Made more. Huh? Made more wine at the wedding in Cana, first miracle. Sit there listening to Mary sitting at his feet. Enjoyed it when someone came and poured oil on his feet and oil on his hair. He enjoyed it. He sat with people. He spent time with children. Suffer the little children to come to me. Suffer not the little children to come to me. Imagine children coming to him, touching his beard, talking to him, looking at his eyes. He sat there in all these moments and many more. Jesus was present in the sacred things that happen every day in our lives. Some of these things are sacred. Some of the things that we want people to know. The key takeaway is this. People who celebrate together stick around for each other. It's key. Amen. When you pray together, when you worship together, when you serve together, when you remember to celebrate together, you'll grow closer together. I don't know about you, but if you're married, you need to take at least some time to pray with your spouse. If you've got kids, pray with your kids. Worship together, celebrate together, encourage them in what they do, right? We encouraged our son to play sport, but we made sure that he didn't play on a Sunday. I know that's difficult for some people, right? Why? Because sport is good, but sport ain't God. Amen? Sport ain't going to save you. I saw statistics that people that make it in sport at the highest level, 0.02%. The statistic of the amount of people that are going to stand before the judgment seat one day is 100%. What are we giving our kids? What advantage are we giving them going forward? Are you with me? So it's okay. We celebrate, but also we celebrate the right stuff. Amen. And it's difficult. There's choices that we make. But we need to remember that when we're involved in something valuable and meaningful, we connect with other people. You can do this in homes, in coffee shops, in restaurants, in parks, wherever you can. Get people around you and celebrate. Celebrate just being together. Amen? And if they've got a birthday, celebrate their birthday. If they've passed their driving test, celebrate their driving test. Celebrate! Don't just let it pass you by. Second thing that it does, celebration. Celebration marks progress. Sometimes we don't know how much we've progressed in life, right? You don't know. But we have birthdays that tell us how old we get. But what do we celebrate that tells us how mature we've got? Or how much we've changed? Or how much we've transformed? When in our homes, we celebrate when someone completes the program. When someone graduates from the program. When someone goes to sleep for the first night after coming off of heroin. We celebrate when someone gets off probation. Come on, somebody. We celebrate when someone gets new teeth. Look at you, man. Smile, smile. Amazing. Hallelujah. But you've got to celebrate these things. It's important to celebrate the small wins as big as the, as well as the big ones. Sometimes we just want to celebrate the big wins. Celebrate the fact that you've been off chocolate for a week. Celebrate the fact that you lost 2 pounds. Hallelujah. Why not? You only want to celebrate when you lost 2 stone? Celebrate when you've made progress. Celebrate your progress, because what that does is that marks it and it gives you something to stand upon and move forward from, so that your progress can continue going in the right direction. Celebrate when someone graduates. Celebrate. Celebrate. Celebration marks the progress you're making. The Israelites celebrated the 7 feasts of the Lord throughout the year to show the progress of God building a people for himself. We see them when we read the scriptures. While the rest of the nations in the world were worshipping fallen celestial beings, corrupt angels, earthbound demons, the Israelites were celebrating being God's chosen people. Celebrate. Now we can celebrate the fact that we have overcome through the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and we are saved by him. The biggest event we celebrate is the resurrection. If it weren't for the resurrection, why would you be a Christian? Boring. Can't sleep with no one else. Can't get drunk. Can't get angry. Huh? Can't kill your enemies. You've got to bless your enemies. Without the resurrection, what would be the point? But because there's a resurrection, we know that it makes sense. There's a meaning to it. There's something good that's coming from it. Celebrate it. We celebrate the progress of God working out the problems of sin and death and the power of the devil. We celebrate the fact that even though the devil's been cast down to earth with all of his minions since the cross of Calvary and the resurrection, we know that he's there. He's trying to cause havoc on the earth. We know that one day Jesus is coming back. We know that he's coming back. We know that one day there's going to be justice for every rape and every murder and every bad thing that's ever been happened. We know there's going to be justice because the king is coming. We celebrate that. One day that trumpet's going to sound and there's going to be the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and those of us that are left alive and remain will be snatched up to meet with the Lord in the clouds. One day he's coming back. Yes. Celebrate. Thirdly, celebration builds momentum. There's a saying I like: what's celebrated is replicated. Amen. When you're raising kids, you've got to learn that punishment is necessary sometimes, but punishment and discipline are two different things. Punishment is just to hurt the person. Discipline is to help the person, right? Discipline is key. God disciplines those he considers sons. So he disciplines us, keeps us going in the right direction. But by celebrating the win, someone's going to do that again. By celebrating someone cleaning their room, the chances are they're going to clean their room. In fact, they've done peer-reviewed studies on this. Statistically, if your kid is messy, and let me tell you, every teenager's messy. Amen? Especially girls. Hallelujah. And especially boys. No one gets out of it. No one gets out of it. They're messy. But if they clean up their room once, but they don't do it 9 times, you can punish them 9 times, and they're gonna not clean it up probably the 10th time either. But if they do it once, and you celebrate that, oh, well done, you've done amazing. Look at that. How great is that? That's great. You're maturing. You're doing it. You're getting better. It might be that they remember to do it the next time as well, because they like the feeling that they got from being celebrated for doing something good rather than being berated for doing something bad. Look at holiness, being sanctified, right? Which really is just a Christian word that means being set apart for sacred living, for sacred space. That's what sanctified means. I believe that churches that celebrate truly living for God in holiness, that celebrate what his word says, not what social science says, not what social communities, not what the social consensus says, but what Jesus says, what God says, churches that celebrate that, they actually see more people living it than churches that compromise. Are you with me? In his book, The Celebration of Discipline, a guy called Richard Foster says this. He said, celebration is central to all the spiritual disciplines. Without a joyful spirit of festivity, the disciplines become dull, death-breathing tools in the hands of modern Pharisees. Let me celebrate it. Right now, there's battles. We had the battle of race. We had the race battle, right? The Black Lives Matter thing. And it turned into something demonic, in my opinion. Amen? It became more divisive than it was even before that. But you've got the battle of race. And I'm against racism in all its forms. Amen? I believe that everyone is created equal in the sight of God. Don't matter your color, it don't matter. And what about the battle of the sexes? About equality of the sexes? And everyone wants equality of outcome. The problem is with equality of outcome, it's okay. Amen? But not everyone puts in as much as someone else. So why should everyone have the same result? It's not about that. Are you with me? It's about a quality of opportunity where everyone gets the same starting point, but not everyone deserves the same finish point. Otherwise, everyone that is born, whether they believe in Jesus or not, would be saved. Right? So quality of opportunity, whether you're male or whether you're female, it's great. If you're great at your job and you're female, praise God, man. But it don't work when you put a woman and a man into the UFC octagon together. 10 times out of 10, the woman's going to get beat up because there's difference. Are you with me? But at the cross, watch this. There is no Jew or Greek, slave or free, male or female. At the cross, everyone comes in with equal opportunity to get saved. It don't matter your ethnicity. It don't matter your sex. It don't matter. Everyone can be saved by the same blood of the Lamb because of the same sacrifice. But then that's at the cross. But at the throne, it says there are men and women from every tongue, every tribe, every nation, right? So the fact is, there's a paradox that there's no differentiation between anyone, but there is differentiation between everyone. There's a paradox. How does that work? Well, it only works if we could learn to celebrate our uniqueness and celebrate other people's uniqueness, and then that's the way of unity. Look at an orchestra. You've got the dude on the cymbal. You've got the violinist who's there leading everything. You've got the trumpet players. You've got the horn section. They're doing everything. And then it comes to this point, and this one little dude at the back has been reading the whole thing for like an hour. And then it comes to one thing, and he goes, ding. That's all he does. But he's still part of the team. He's still part of the orchestra. And if he dinged it at the wrong time, he's going to mess it up for everyone. So we celebrate everyone's uniqueness while everyone's playing together. That's where unity comes from. That everyone knows that they're following the same conductor, following the same music at the same time, but we're all different. When we can celebrate each other's uniqueness, and you can celebrate the fact that I am a white heterosexual male, and I can celebrate the fact that you are a black heterosexual female, and we can celebrate that together, powerful stuff. Don't matter. Are you with me? Yeah. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Celebrating our uniqueness. Instead of putting down someone else's differences, we're able. God wants us to celebrate our own identities and the identity of someone else. And that is the way of unity. When it's in God's will. When it's in God's will. And that's where God's blessing flows. And it always works correctly when those unique identities follow the revealed will of God. Otherwise it's just chaos. But in order, There's a beauty in it. Are you still with me? I'm coming into a close. Everything that falls within God's celebrated will should be celebrated. What he's revealed, celebrate it. Because what is celebrated grows. Amen? If you celebrate coming to church on Sunday, guess what your kids are going to do? They're going to come on Sunday. We don't give them a choice to go to school, but we give them a choice to come to church. When they're of age, make your own choice. You know what I mean? But no, come to church, dude. Right? Celebrate. What you celebrate grows. Celebrate the win. Celebrate it. Celebrate their uniqueness. Every win, no matter how small, celebrate it. Every bit of forward progress, celebrate it. Every refreshing new relationship, every new spiritual revelation, celebrate it. And most of all, celebrate God. His reality, his goodness, his love for you, and the destiny that he's leading you towards. So how do we celebrate it? How do we celebrate? I quote Richard Foster again. Celebration is not just an attitude, but also something that we do. You've got to do it. How hard is it, though, to actually get up and celebrate? Some of you are cringing. You're like salted slugs right now. You ever seen a slug get salt on its back? It just shrivels into itself like that. And right now, people are looking at me thinking, what does he want us to do? What does he actually want us to celebrate? I'm not sure I want to celebrate. I'm not sure I want to do anything. What does he want us to do? I want you to run up to this place and jump up and down. I want you to spin. I want you to hug someone. I want you to smile at someone and laugh. Ha, ha, ha! Now you're really freaked out. But that's what celebration is about. It's an attitude. It's not just an attitude. It's something we do. We laugh. We sing. We dance. We play. We hug. We enjoy. In celebration, we celebrate. The psalmist talked about the joy-filled celebration of the people of God with musical instruments, with trumpet and lute, with shouting and singing, with dancing. And the thing is this. Someone says, celebration is one of those things that does not diminish with use. You don't run out of the power of celebration. Are you with me? In actual fact, it multiplies. Celebration begets more celebration. When you have an attitude of celebration, and instead of looking at the lack, you look at things to celebrate, and all of a sudden you start seeing that there's more good in your life than bad. You have more good days than bad days. There's more positive things than negative things. Because if you look for the negative, you're going to find it. But if you look for the positive, guess what? You're going to find that as well. I don't know about you. I want you right now to start thinking about some things that you can celebrate. Because joy begets more joy. Laughter begets more laughter. Genuine celebration has the power to bring healing and wholeness. It has the power to bring together, to unify, and that is the way of blessing. Celebration brings blessing. When you can celebrate someone else's achievement, you're blessing that person. So be loud about it. Years ago, I want you to stand. Years ago, our gang ministry, they caught on to this tag. They had hoodies made and sweatshirts made, and it was the tag of the season. And it was hashtag loud about it. Hashtag loud about it. Instead of being quiet about it, be loud about it. You've got something to celebrate. You were sick and now you're well. They said that you weren't going to get out of hospital, and here you are. You were lost and now you're found. Come on, somebody. You were lonely, now you've got a community. You were broken, but God's been fixing you piece by piece, day by day. You had no future and no destiny, but God is showing you that there's more in front of you than there is behind you. You didn't have anything to laugh about, but now you can even laugh at yourself. Hallelujah. When you can laugh at yourself, you have won the ultimate victory over evil, because evil wants you to be down on yourself. But if you can laugh at yourself, what power has anyone got over your life? Celebrate. Celebrate the little wins. Celebrate the fact that some of you are here today. You got up out of your bed, that duvet demon tried to keep you bound, but you fought and overcame the duvet demon and the pillow monster. Come on, somebody. You found a way. You stopped listening to yourself and you started talking to yourself, and you said, it is better to be in the house of the Lord. It is better to be around the saints. I'd rather lift my hands and lift my voice in community with other people than stay shrunken and shriveled in my own pit of darkness. Have you got something to celebrate today? Yeah. Have you got some sobriety to celebrate? Men in the home, come on now. You were lost and bound and broken in drugs and addiction, but you're free. Glory to God. When they said, once a junkie, always a junkie, God said, uh-uh. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. If you woke up this morning and you have a pound in an account in your pocket, you are richer than 95% of the world's population. You ain't doing so bad. If you're here right now and you have shoes on your feet and a coat on your back, then you are doing okay. If you have teeth in your head and you can eat a meal, then praise God. If you can shout and scream and you have a voice and you are not laying in a hospital bed or in a morgue right now, then you can celebrate life. You can celebrate freedom. You're free. You're free to worship the Lord in this country. You're free to say Jesus is Lord in this country. You're free to disagree with someone else in this country. You're free to do all of the things that in other countries they dream about, but you're here right now able to do that. You can come into the house of the Lord and you can celebrate. I don't know about you, but I want to sing and I want to dance and I want to celebrate. I've had enough of down times. I've had enough of dark times. Come on, come out and celebrate with us right now. Wherever you're at, come out, come out, come out. Come from the front, come from the back. I dare you. I dare you. Come out of your seats. Come out of your seats. I dare you to come and celebrate right here with us.
Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website, vomanchester.org.uk, for more information.